Good morning, Chris Hull, Wake Forest Baptist Health, Infectious Diseases. Hope everyone had a good week last week. I certainly had a nice week off spent a little bit of time at the beach. And I can tell you that the world thinks that COVID is gone, that it's over, just judging by my experiences and looking around and watching how people interact. So I guess the good part about that is people can start to do things that they want to do and interact some. But the bad part about it is that COVID's not over. So we're still having cases across the U.S., across the triad, across the globe. We'll talk a little bit about that. So how are we doing nationally? Roughly the national average is about 6 to 7 per 100,000 per day now, cases, which is comfortably good. And most of the percent positivities run somewhere between 3 to 10% across the country. Here in the triad, where I looked yesterday, Forsyth County, we're at 5.5 per 100,000, our percent positivity is running around 2 to 3 to 4%, depending on the day. So that would put us into the mild to minimal to moderate transmission range for a community, which technically means that we still have enough COVID circulating to make it worse than a bad flu season, just to put it in perspective. Who's getting COVID? It's largely unvaccinated people still. There are a few people who are getting breakthroughs. Infections, even though they've been vaccinated before, although severe infections in that group is very, very, very unusual, and hospitalization is an extremely unusual event in ICU, so admission in somebody's previously vaccinated is extremely unusual. I better put my mic on here. The thing is, though, is about the case numbers and such, is that our testing is down about a third from what it was at this time in February. So we're not testing people nearly as much. Now, some of that's because there's not as much symptomatic COVID around. If people don't have symptoms, they don't get tested. And a large screening testing events that health departments and such were putting on, I've largely gone by the wayside now because of lack of interest in getting tested in those situations. And then also people who've been vaccinated don't need to be tested if they've been exposed to COVID. So that's some of the reason, but also a lot of the reason we're not testing as much as people just think COVID's over and they're not doing it. There is one particular situation that I want to bring people's attention to, because there seems to be a lot of misinformation circulating about this, including even amongst healthcare workers. And that is, if you have symptoms of COVID, which is basically a cold or a flu-like symptoms, right? Sore throat, cough, a little bit of runny nose, maybe loss of sense of taste or smell, and fever, and any combination of those, and you should be tested still for COVID. And that includes if you've been vaccinated. So certainly if you've been unvaccinated, you should get tested, but you should still get tested if you've been vaccinated, because we do have a small number of breakthrough infections. And in those situations, it's possible you can spread COVID to other people. So you need to get tested. So the situation I've been made aware of is people coming to urgent care settings with signs and symptoms of colds, and they've been told that they don't need to get tested because they've been vaccinated. That's wrong. If you have signs and symptoms of COVID, even if vaccinated, you need to get tested. So make sure you go, get tested, and that way you can be reassured if it's negative, or protect your people around you if you're positive. If somebody tells you differently, tell them Dr. Hull said, I'm symptomatic, I've been vaccinated, I need to be tested. So breakthrough infections are still relatively rare, still running around about 0.08% totally for people vaccinated. But we may have some changes in that in a little bit in the future, and we'll talk about that. So how's vaccination going? Kind of stalled out, including here in the Triad. We're still running about a little under 50% for people who've gotten two doses. I can tell you the 12 to 18-year-old group is even less than that. Last I checked, this was 2 weeks ago, it was running about 20%. So we're going to have to do better in that group for a lot of reasons. There has been a new incentive put out by the governor of North Carolina here in the state, and that we're going to have a vaccine lottery. So if you feel lucky, get vaccinated. Great time to do it for a lot of reasons. So four drawings, each one of them $1 million awarded to a lucky vaccinee. If you're between 12 and 18, rather than get $1 million, you'll get a $125,000 scholarship, which will buy you a pretty good college education, actually. And so that's something to think about. So if you've been sitting on the fence about vaccine or just procrastinating, get it now and get enrolled. For those of us who've been vaccinated in the past, we are automatically enrolled in this lottery. But if you get the vaccine now, as the first-time vaccinee, you'll actually get entered twice. So you would double the chance that you'll win your $1 million. So put your lucky hat on, turn it around, your rally cap, go get vaccinated, get entered in the lottery. So a lot of excitement that'll be going through here in the month of July, seeing how all that turns out. I want to talk a little bit about the Delta variant. And there's been a lot about the Delta variant in the news this week. First of all, if you've been taking the last 2 weeks off, we've changed the way we label the variants. It used to be we gave it a country of origin name, but that seemed not fair to that country because the variants are kind of all over. And then we changed it to giving it the mutation number name, like B117, but no one can remember that anymore. So we've done it kind of like hurricanes, but using the Greek alphabet. So it's alpha, beta, and then delta. So the alpha variant is the, quote, UK variant, or the B117, which has been the predominant strain here in the United States now for over a month and a half, probably. And so people are getting COVID now are getting the alpha variant here in the U.S. The Delta variant is the variant that had its origins in India. And the concern initially about it is that we saw what happened in India with the number of infections that were occurring and also the number of people that were being hospitalized. But it was pretty unclear how much of that was because of behavior, crowding, chain differences in healthcare systems in India and such. So we weren't quite sure what that was all meaning, but we did know that the mutations in the virus had a potential to cause increased transmissibility and potentially increased severity of infection. And so just this past Monday, there was a paper published in The Lancet. And if you're a follower of medical journals, Lancet's basically the other side of the pond's version of the New England Journal. So this is a very well-respected and peer-reviewed journal, and junk doesn't get published in it. And so this paper came out, and it basically, it's a little complicated. If you want, you can pull the paper up yourself. But it looks like the Delta variant has a relative risk of hospitalization for COVID, if you get it, that's 1.8. So basically that means you're almost twice as likely to get hospitalized if you get the Delta variant than if you get the Alpha variant. And that's across all comers. Now, that risk goes up even more for people who have underlying diseases, you know, diabetes, kidney disease, heart disease, lung disease, so on and so forth, obesity. But even in people who have no other health problems, the risk of hospitalization goes up. And then the other thing we found is that transmissibility is about, well, they say 60% more, which is about 1.5 times as much as the normal virus. It's not huge, but it's substantial. There were some other things buried in the paper that are concerning. One is that the age group getting this in England, which is where this was done, Scotland specifically, that it's getting it mostly is the 12 to 20-year-old group. Now, that's the group that hasn't been vaccinated yet in England, because they've been going, Scotland, they've been going down the age ladder. But I think because of the transmissibility in that group and the social interactions in that group is at higher risk. And then the other aspects in this study is that how protective is vaccination? It turns out if you've had both doses of a two-dose vaccine, which in Scotland would be either AstraZeneca's vaccine or Pfizer's, that you're still pretty protected from hospitalization. Not quite as much as if it was the Alpha variant, but pretty much. However, if you've only got one dose of either of those vaccines, and both are a two-dose series, you get your chances of your protection efficacy percentage goes down to about 33%. So it looks like for the Delta variant, one dose is not going to be enough. I don't want to be really pessimistic about all of this, but Scotland's vaccination rates overall are about the same as they are here in the United States. Right now, the Delta variant in the United States is about 10% of what our variants are. 10% of all of our strains here in the U.S. is the Delta variant. By the end of July, it'll likely be around 85 to 90%. Because the transmissibility gives this virus more of a foothold to get into the population. This is occurring at roughly the same time as the country has decided that COVID is over and that we don't need to do anything anymore. And so all of those other mitigation things that we know work, like masks, social distancing, avoiding crowds, avoiding situations where transmission can occur, have largely gone away, which means that this Delta variant is going to take advantage of that. And it's particularly going to take advantage of that in the unvaccinated population or the population of people who've only gotten one dose of the two-dose vaccines. So if you've gotten one dose of the two-dose vaccines and you kind of didn't like how you felt afterwards and you thought you'd just write it out because one dose might be enough, go get your second dose, and you can get it now. Even if you got dose number one in the beginning of January, you can get dose number two now. Spacing it out like that actually doesn't reduce the effectiveness of the vaccine. So go get it now, boost your immunity, get protected for this Delta variant. Because I really, really would hate to see people getting hospitalized who've gotten one dose of vaccine when the Delta variant comes around, which it's going to. So it's going to affect mostly the unvaccinated population and then secondarily the one dosers. And so this is, I think, as big of an incentive, even maybe more so than the $1 million lottery, to go get vaccinated now. So for the 12 to 18-year-olds, so school's going to be starting here latter part of middle of August. So if you want your child, or you as the child, want to get protected to go back to school, which I encourage, you need to get it done roughly by the 12th of July. You need to start your series. Because it takes 3 weeks for Pfizer's vaccine to get both doses, and then 2 weeks after that for the immunity to occur. So you're roughly about 6 weeks out from the start. So July 12th, circle it on your calendar, July 12th, you got to get your teens vaccinated. get at least their first dose in by then. And what are the advantages for getting vaccinated if you're 12 to 18? One, you won't get COVID, which is always a good thing. Even a variant, if you get both doses, pretty much free to not get COVID after that. And then the second reason is to not give it to other people who are loved ones, particularly vulnerable loved ones. Three is to be able to do things without the worry of getting COVID from other people who are unvaccinated. So in other words, your friends, family, sports teams, other things you want to do. Four is to be a good citizen and get the level of immunity up in our populations to slow down these variants from coming around so we don't have to worry about them anymore. And fifth is if you're exposed to COVID, you don't need to quarantine, which means no virtual learning, which means no staying home while your kids and your friends are out playing, while your friends are doing their sports activities, but you've been exposed and you're in quarantine because you haven't gotten vaccinated. So if you're vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine. And that's a good reason. It means you're gonna have a normal life even if you've been exposed to it. So let's get vaccinated. I saw a video this week. A good friend and colleague showed it to me from one of his grandsons, and his grandson is Christian Cox. And he was explaining in this video, this is a four-year-old, was explaining in this video how the vaccine works. And so in the eyes of a four-year-old, here's how it goes. So you get the vaccine, and the vaccine makes you train your white soldier cells kind of like superhero training. So when you get the vaccine, it's like your body gets superhero training to fight COVID. So when the virus comes around to you, you're not gonna get it. And you know what, Christian? You got it right. That's exactly what happens in a little bit of a simplified way. So think about it that way, that when you get vaccinated, you're getting superhero training to not get COVID. I like that a lot. One other thing that came up in the last week is there was a study published about a Novavax vaccine. You may not have heard a lot about this vaccine. So it's a new vaccine for COVID. It's a two-shot series like the other ones. It has 90% efficacy for protection. So upwards along the lines of Moderna and Pfizer's and a vaccine, and a little bit better than Johnson & Johnson's as far as the exact percentages go. But this vaccine is made a little differently. It's made using recombinant technology. So recombinant technology, we've been making vaccines with recombinant technology now for about 20 years. So just about everyone out there has been immunized for hepatitis B. It's part of our childhood vaccination series. That's a recombinantly made vaccine. A lot of people have gotten the shingles vaccine, a recombinantly made vaccine. About a third of the flu vaccines that we give right now are recombinant vaccines. The HPV vaccine is a recombinant vaccine. So this is how we've been making vaccines now for the last 10 to 20 years, because they work a little better, and they're easier to make, and they're really, really, really safe. So for those of you who've been sitting on the vaccination fence because you don't like it that the other vaccines are new technology that's only been being done now for a couple, 3 years as far as real in people, in clinical trials or outside. If you want a vaccine that's made the way that our vaccines have been made for the last 20 years, go ahead and get the recombinant vaccine, because this is how it's been done. And it looks like it's got great efficacy, and the early safety data is very, very good. And may still be a little bit reactive as far as getting a little soreness and maybe a fever afterwards, because that has to do with the spike protein that's made, not the vaccine itself. But anyway, so that vaccine is now, I think, going to go to the FDA in the next couple weeks. So by the end of the summer, we might see the EUA out for that, and that'll give us another vaccine alternative. There may not be quite as many doses at first, but they should be able to ramp it up over time. And So for those of you who don't want new technology, so in other words, you'd rather buy the late model car than the early model car, then this would be the vaccine for you. So I think I'll leave it at that and ask if there's any questions from the group that's here. And if not, Eric, any questions on there? Nope. All right. So what we'll do, I think, rather than have a session next week, we'll do one in 2 weeks. I think we'll move these out to every 2 weeks. That gives us a little bit more to talk about each time we do it, unless obviously something breaking and big comes up. But in summary of today's, I think the Delta variant. So if you remember when the Alpha came around, and then the South African variety in Brazil, and I'm saying, I'm not really losing much sleep over this. It might slow things down a little bit, but I don't think it's a major hiccup. The Delta vaccine could be the Delta variant could be a major hiccup, we're gonna have to really double down on our vaccination efforts to keep this from interfering with our fall activities. I don't think it'll be a wave like it was in January. I don't think we'll be having these massive community spreads, but for the unvaccinated group of people, it may wreck your fall. Yes? So
you still say that most of the vaccines do cover that Delta?
Yeah, they cover it. If you've gotten fully vaccinated, yeah, they do. It's a little bit less than if it was one of the other variants. There's a little bit more symptomatic infection in people who've been vaccinated, but hospitalizations are still very unusual. And it certainly is going to be one of the variants, though, that we're going to want to throw in the booster when it comes around next winter. This one is going to need a booster, I think. Yeah.
Even for people that's already been vaccinated?
Yes, I think so. I think even for people already vaccinated.
And you were talking, what was the, you said that right now it's like you said 10% it's here. What was the, did you say you think by what, July?
The end of July, yeah. It'll at least be over 50%. I mean, it only took 3.5 months to get through England and Scotland after its introduction, so. Are the symptoms for the Delta variant different? That's an interesting question. There was something that came out, but it wasn't in a big paper, like in The Lancet. But it was on a listserv, and it was, again, in Scotland, from a group of clinician scientists who've been continuously surveying people who've gotten COVID there as to what their symptoms are. It seems that the Delta variant may have less cough and more sore throat and runny nose, and it doesn't have as much loss of sense of taste or smell. So it behaves a little bit more like a bad cold. Even though it still can cause hospitalizations, but in young, otherwise healthy people, there's less of the loss of sense of smell and taste for sure. And that makes it a little bit harder to sort out, in clinics, and makes it even more important for people who have cold symptoms to get tested for COVID.
I was listening to the radio today, they were talking how, hospitalizations now are down below 500. But don't let that fool you.
Yeah, so our hospitalizations are in the state are below 500, which, I mean, actually, that's not a low number. I mean, if you take any disease and you put 500 people in the hospital, it'll get your attention. We're just so used to, and our skin has gotten thickened by having a couple thousand in the hospital across the state. But, and here, at least at Wake Forest Baptist Health, yeah, our hospitalizations are down some too. But the percentage of decline of our hospitalizations is not nearly what it is for overall cases. So people are still getting admitted to the hospital, and if that's you, that's a big deal. And we're still having a handful of people in the ICU at any time. So it's still happening. All of the hospitalizations that I know about, that I personally know about, have been in unvaccinated people. I mean, there's been a very small number, very, very small number of hospitalizations and people have been vaccinated. So it seems obvious to me what we need to do is get everyone vaccinated. So, all right, see you in 2 weeks.